Hello, and you are listening to I'm a Diva podcast, a podcast dedicated to promoting our female creatives in the music industry. So if you are any form of creator, a dedicated participant in the music industry, then we are here to promote you, to share your story, to share your challenges, and to grow together and to have some fun along the way and learn a thing or two. You are listening to I'm a Diva podcast. I'm a GV. I'm a female rapper in the music industry, growing to develop my career and facing challenges and noticing how females are underrepresented. This is why I decided to create this podcast for all of you to listen to and to promote our wonderful females and to be able to connect with others and learn from each other. So I welcome you to I'm a Diva podcast. Hello, and you're listening to I'm a Diva podcast. This is your talk show host, AJV, and we're back with another wonderful episode. So this is season two. Episode 10. So this is our closing last episode of season two, and we are coming in with a bang. Today we have a wonderful female artist by the name of Ari Tahan, is an artist from Guildford, Surrey. Her timeless sound and rich vocals are a soulful expression of the pain and pleasures of life. Inspired by powerful voices like Adele, Alicia Keys, and Joss Stone, Ari Tahan strives to express raw honesty in her songs. As part of her early career development, Ari Tahan fostered a mentorship with respected singer-songwriter Judy Zook, who co-wrote her upcoming debut in 2019. Ari Tahan performed at Tobacco Docks for the BBC Introducing Live event and also performed for a BBC Introducing Live Lounge session. She has always received radio play on BBC Introducing, where she was chosen to be Feature Artist of the Week twice, where her songs Stones, Out of Time, Idiot, Underwater, and Higher were each played as a track of the week, and has also been chosen twice in the past to Feature Artist of the Week. She has new single out on the 21st of June called Golden. The pre-save link is also in her bio. I know I will always find a way. Every day is golden. Don't waste a single moment passing by. If you feel your time was stolen, try to find the light inside your eyes. In the mirror when you're broken, hold on to that passion deep inside. Every day is golden. There's always a brighter side to life. I wanna feel your arms around me. I wanna feel the warmth from your skin. These days are moving slowly. I can't wait to find you. So, hi, Ari. How are you?
Hi.
Thank you so much for coming on to the show. I'm so excited to talk to you.
I'm so grateful that you asked me on. Like, it's been my highlight of the week, so thank you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. So I just wanted to start off, I guess many people probably want to learn a little bit about how your music journey began and, you know, how you got inspired to making music. Were you a musical child? You know, do you have a musical background? Where did it all start that you had this, you know, leading kind of path towards music?
Yeah, so I mean, I have to say, like, I have been singing like since I was a baby. It's just such a cliche thing to say, but I have so many baby videos of me singing and like growing up at school, being in school choirs and wanted to always audition for the talent show, singing Shania Twain, Man, I Feel Like a Woman, you know, in my underwear with my mum growing up. And I've always had a passion for music. And I just think I knew it from, I think when, you know, from the age of six, I just said, Mum, I want to go to drama school, music school, anything, just want to be in that field. So, you know, and I'm really, really happy that my parents were so supportive of it as well, and that the school that I was at, I loved my music teacher so much. He was so supportive of me, and he was always like, come on, Ariana, get up on stage, like, you know, stop being in your shell. But yeah, I'm just so grateful for that.
That's beautiful. And in the bio, it hasn't been mentioned that you were also a vocal coach. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, I have students, a couple of students a week. I've taught at All-Star Choir, you know, teaching little kids part of that. I love harmonies and, you know, working with groups. So that's been fun. I've worked at the Rock Project, where like a band get together and you teach them how to perform their favourite songs. Similar other companies like Pop Rocks and the Rock Project. The Rock Project and British School of Rock. So similar kind of schools, that's where I've taught. And yeah, I do songwriting over Zoom as well, and just listening to other people's songs and helping them sing it the way that they want to. I feel like sometimes people don't necessarily want to sing like this big song. They want to like find their own style to sing their own music, yeah. which is also quite cool. But yeah, that's something that I do.
So for anybody listening that, you know, might want some coaching lessons from you, you know, is it possible to do that? And if so, like, what are the, like, do you have vocal coaching packages? Like, do you pay per lesson, or can you pay 5 lessons, or what bundles do you have?
Yeah, so I haven't done anything different, but I'm, you know, it's always whatever works for them, really. I usually do packs of 5 or packs of 10, packs of 10 lessons, which is 250, and then we go from there. Or you can pay per lesson, which is £25 for an hour. So it's very flexible, and, you know, we can go around their timetable.
Sounds like a great package, actually, like great value in terms of, like, especially if you go for 10 lessons. So that's good to know. So now, in terms of, like, as you progressed in your music journey, obviously, like, the fact that you mentioned you have a musical background, which is amazing. You know, a lot of artists, you know, share that, you know, they're like, oh, you know, I only started music as I turned like 18 or something like that. How do you think that impacted your success? And do you feel like, have you met artists that you're like, wow, these people, I learned this person doesn't have a musical background, but they're just as amazing. Like, how do you think has benefited you, or maybe not benefited you? Do you feel like that somehow sometimes structure can be like the opposite of kind of nurturing creativity? What's your take on that?
Yeah, so like, there are people that I have different kinds of friendship groups. Like, one is a really musical friendship group who I went to music uni with. And then there are my home friends, you know, like who I grew up with, who are still actually quite creative people, whether it's art or, you know, like not music, but poetry or writing or stuff. I feel like I definitely draw creative people in my life. Like, my bestest friend, she isn't a musician at all, but she's a fashion, she loves fashion. She brings that kind of aspect into my life. She inspires me with clothes, and which is also very inspiring at the same time. It's like, Libby, what do I wear for this music video? Like, I'm so unstylish. but then there are people that definitely teach me lessons in other aspects of life, because obviously being a musician doesn't mean that you have to do music every single day. I think it is important to have different kinds of friends, musical or non-musical, because they can inspire you with different topics. Like, they could give you something that will help you write about something else and an experience. And
so you mentioned Shania Twain about kind of like, you know, you growing up singing that. What other influences growing up that you found were quite impactful towards, like, you know, just the maybe the harmonies, like you said, you're in love with harmonies, and, you know, even just the arrangements. Who have been your favorite artists growing up?
I'll tell you what, it's so opposite to what I am now, which is quite funny, because my dad loved rock. So he loved blurting out, you know, like AC/DC in the car, and like things like "All Right Now, Baby," you know, those kind of songs. So like, that's what really like made me fall in love with music.
Yeah.
And my granddad, he loves jazz, and like, he loves Frank Sinatra, like "Fly Me to the Moon." So like, there's such a different, everyone in my family loves different kinds of music, but they're the most unmusical people that my family just like, how are you musical? We don't know anything about music. And like, but they did bring me up with some great songs, and I'm really glad that, you know, they have really good music taste. But it's so funny that now the music that I'm writing is just so not like the music that I grew up with.
yeah. So who are you listening today in comparison to who you grew up listening to? Who's your favorite artist right now?
Oh, favorite artist, that's so difficult. I'm listening to a lot of Fletcher. Mm-hmm. I like Fletcher's music. I've gone through a lot this year, and I feel like her music's really resonated with me lyrically, emotionally. I'll always love Adele. She was definitely one growing up where I feel like her voice is very similar. Her songwriting is similar to me. Ella Eyre, I love Ella Eyre.
Yeah, I love her. And love her.
Yeah, she's so powerful, and someone similar, Becky Hill, because I love the fact that Becky Hill is so, it's still very emotive in her voice, but her music is so uplifting still. Like, it's not, you can dance to the music, but it's still quite a sad song. So mm-hmm. I like her take on that.
It kind of, the description you gave, I feel like it resonates a lot with kind of what you're trying to do with your music, as I felt like from listening to your music, there seems to be like soulfulness to the vocals, but then there seems to be still a very energetic kind of upbeat melody in the background that kind of sort of still lifts it a little bit.
Yeah, I've been trying to not write. My family are like, when are you going to write a happy song? I'm sorry, I'm happy, I swear, I'm just trying to write. There's a lot of I've gone through a breakup recently, I've lived on my own for about a year now, and I've learned a lot about myself, so I've been discovering my new sound. I'm really excited to get the new music out there. I'm still in the process of recording it, but there's so much more music coming, and I'm just channeling and enjoying the process at the moment of discovering who I am as an artist.
Mm-hmm. First of all, I'm sorry to hear about your breakup. I'm really glad to hear you're rediscovering yourself, and you're discovering yourself in a new way, and I hope that it'll reflect in your music. I do have to say I really enjoyed Is It Lover's Game and Just Call.
Yeah,
so those were my two favorite tracks that I kind of noticed. How would you describe your newer music coming up that hasn't been out, and how different it is to your most recent stuff that's already been released? Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'd say it's going along more of the R&B, not, inspired by R&B and soul, and a bit more commercial. Mm-hmm. I'd say like the music that's already out there is more, Radio 2 kind of vibes, whereas now I'm kind of going for the more pop, Radio 1 kind of vibe. The Weeknd, that kind of genre. It's really funny, actually. I played some of my new songs to some friends, and they were like, I can't quite grasp what genre this is, which is really interesting. But me and my producer are really excited to release all of my new stuff. It's going to take a while. I'm getting really impatient. But I'm really, the first time in a few years, because the songs that are out at the moment, I wrote years ago, and that was like the old me. I was 16, I was heartbroken for my parents' relationship and them divorcing, because that's what my EP is about. Because Lover's Game is actually about my mum moving on, not necessarily me. So I wrote it from her perspective, but now I feel like all of my new music is all about me and like finding new love and about mistakes and everything. So I'm so ready to, get that out there.
That's so beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing and opening up to your internal creative world with us and all of our listeners. Nice. So as we move forward now, as you mentioned, the whole BBC, live events and the lounge sessions and being a track of the week and feature artist of the week, would that have been your kind of epitome of kind of like the highlight of where you felt like, okay, I'm reaching now for something like in terms of like musical success, or have there other moments that you consider a success to you in terms of like your track record of where you're heading with your career?
Yeah, I feel like BBC Introducing really gave me that boost of confidence. It was with my first single, Stones, that I submitted it to BBC Introducing like 6 months before. I heard from them 6 months later I submitted it. That really made, I was like, oh wow, like they've actually taken notice and they like the song and they're going to play it on the radio. And I feel like I didn't know how to react to it, because I was like, oh my gosh, like that's something that I've been working towards and it's happened.
And you probably already forgot you submitted it.
yeah, definitely. I was like, oh, they didn't like it. And then 6 months later, wow. And then with every release that I've done, they've been so supportive. They always play my music. Melita Dennett, the presenter, and Karen Kemp, they're always so supportive of me. They're liking my posts on Instagram. They've given me opportunities to play at Tobacco Dock and they've, picked my track of the week and stuff like that. So I'm just so grateful for them too. They're so lovely. I did my BBC Live Lounge with them at the Introducing Live Lounge, which was a lot of fun. I did that with my band. That was like my first, it was live as well. And yeah, that was my first big experience being live on the radio playing with my music. So
it's incredible. Yeah, I think I seen the clip on your Instagram. You have some footage on there, don't you?
Yeah, somewhere.
It looked like so much fun. It looked like such a vibe.
I tell you what, my heart's never beat so much in my life though, because obviously, being the first time as well, you don't know what to expect. So like you have to start as soon as they say Ari to her, like we had to come in on a queue, and it's like, oh my God, start.
Yeah. I can only imagine what that felt like, all of that build up over such a long period of time. And then here you are doing your first live show.
I know.
It was a thrill though at the same time, like, and every artist just prays that please don't be any like sound technicality difficulties or anything.
That's
like
the main thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
because when I'd say obviously it's so different to playing live on stage, because you know you hear everything when you've got headphones on, so that's the most, not off-putting, but you are more cautious about when whilst you're singing, like compared to like when you're singing live, because you vibe off the audience but no one's there, so it's like you're still performing. But
yeah, I noticed that on your story in terms of like, do you have actual like live gig coming up?
Yes, I have one on Friday. It's actually with my function band, so it's a completely separate project to my artist stuff. Obviously it's a covers band for like weddings and stuff like that, but we have a lot of fun. And over the years I've done a few years of Haven holiday resorts, sleeping in caravans and doing all of the traveling like that. That's so much fun. I really want to do at some point a cruise later on in my life, but yeah, it is a lot of fun doing weddings with my function band.
When was the first gig that you've been back doing since kind of like the whole pandemic?
Do you know what? I think this Friday is going to be the first gig. After the second lockdown, or the first, I did an acoustic gig with someone at a golf club, but it was only a small little thing. But yeah, this is the first. We've got 80 bookings for this pub. That's not including walk-in, so it's going to be a big one, and I'm really, really excited. And today my in-ear monitors arrived from Anderton's, so I'm really excited to use them. And I only use wedges on the front, you know, wedge monitors on the front of the stage, and this is the first time me using in-ears. I've been using them in rehearsals, someone else's. I finally got my own and I'm just so excited.
Now, can I ask you, in terms of the kind of like the fact that I've noticed myself, even though I've recently celebrated my birthday and I had a little bit of like a camping kind of weekend, and I performed for my friends in such a long time in person, you know, for people in general, and there was a little bit of buildup of kind of like a little bit of anxiety, because it's like it's almost like it's been so long that there's like an excitement and thrill, but like there's also like a fear. Did you have kind of similar feelings coming up? Like, do you feel like that's something that like you experience Absolutely. Yourself? Do you ever get stage presence, like for someone who has such a strong musical background? Because I'm really interested to hear, and I'm sure listeners are interested to hear, like, do you still experience stage fright?
Absolutely. I'm very, very good at hiding it, I'd say. Like, I've gotten very good at putting on a brave face and just going up. Like, but before the gig and in the morning, I don't sleep very well the night before. But yeah, it's not necessarily the singing. It's more to do with talking to the audience. I find it really difficult to know what to say in between songs sometimes. Sometimes the vibe isn't there and you're just lost for words, and you're like, you know, there's only so many times that you can say, who's ready for the next song? Or like, is everyone enjoying themselves? But then sometimes that gap, and you're like, I find it really difficult. Yeah, that's a challenge of mine.
Thank you for sharing. I'm sure anybody like listening, it's nice to hear that, you know, you still have same human emotions and feelings like your artist, even with a very heavily strong musical background. So thank you for opening up like that with us. Now I'd like to delve a little bit into how you kind of go about your songwriting, creating your music. Can you give us a little bit of kind of what kind of pushes you, or what kind of mental or creative space you have to create for yourself? Like, how do you decide what you want to write about? How do you get inspired, what you write about, and how you go about it?
I feel like songwriting just comes in waves for me. I can't just sit down and just say, right, I'm gonna write about this topic. I mean, I can if I'm with someone and we're bouncing ideas, and I really try to do that, but the best ones come when I'm riding my bike and an idea comes in my head and I have to stop in the middle of the pavement and voice note this. Oh, you're gonna laugh. Do you know how many voice notes I have on my phone of me breathing heavily? Like, and then they love you. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, just like the funny sounds is like the first initial idea, because you don't want anyone to hear you around you. So it's like awkward. But no, I think I definitely stop, write the idea, record it on my phone, and then I get home and then I kind of elaborate. Or, you know, sometimes I'm watching a movie or reading a book and a line comes up and I'm like, that's a really cool lyric idea, and I just put that. Sometimes I put it on my phone and I don't touch it for like 2 weeks, and then I think of a melody and then it kind of just comes out. But yeah, I also really enjoy writing to sync briefs for advert, or like, you know, like recently I wrote with my friend and we did this really cool, it's completely irrelevant to artist stuff, but it's like based on a movie kind of thing. And it's like they wanted a rip-off version of Fleetwood Mac. So we kind of like, it was about her rock climbing or something. And yeah, like we just wrote about that. And there's another song that we wrote and it was about, it kind of gave Disney vibes, like a gothic, really, really dark gothic vibe of this Disney princess going up to her castle. And I, it's so much fun sometimes just to write things that are just random, but they end up really cool, like with loads of harmonies. And you're like, wow, where did that come from?
I can relate to, like, you know, when those songs that go viral on YouTube and all of the kind of randomness of the lyrics, but it's just so catchy. It just kind of goes to show, like, once you've got the kind of technique of the structure in there and you've got, like you said, the harmonies, you pretty much can write about anything. And it's those songs, the most random songs about kind of like anything. It could be like, I love my peanut butter jelly, you know, toast or something, and everybody's like, oh my god, I love the song because I can really relate, you know, I love my peanut butter jelly toast. My friend,
me and my friends have like writing competitions, like what can you come up with in half an hour, and I'm telling you, like the stuff that comes out, I can't even think right now, but it is so much fun. Like I'm not a producer, but like I can make like a simple beat and stuff, so like there's me just like, I'm just like, what am I doing with my life, like but then sometimes it works and then you're just like, this is actually really cool, I'm gonna use this.
Yeah, but that's the thing, it's kind of like kind of honoring that you have loads of different things coming out of you, and you just kind of like, look, some of them I'm gonna use as like real material for music, but some of them is just to kind of keep creativity flowing and not to teach your mind.
And you've got to enjoy what you do as well. Sometimes people take music like so seriously, they take themselves seriously, and if you're writing music and it's stressing you out, then take a break and have fun. Like I think that's the main thing, people are like, oh, I've got to write a song and it's got to be the best song in the world, but no, sometimes you've got to write a song for your soul, you know, like sometimes it's not going to be a song that you're going to release, it's going to be a song that makes you happy, and then if it does end up being one that you release, then that is the main thing, like the outcome, you've got to enjoy the process. Yeah.
Is there many songs in Ari's, you know, secret folder on her computer that the world will never see or hear, should I say?
There definitely will be songs that they won't ever see, because some of them are just so dark. When I say dark, just too, like, I don't know, just they're more poetry written songs, I'd say. I love poetry. And then whether I take a lyric or two and put it into another song or something, then yeah, but there are loads. It's sad, actually, like there's too many things that I've written that, yeah, will never see the light of day. But maybe I'll do like an extra Instagram page or like a highlight of like all of the unused things.
I think that sounds actually like a great idea. I think where you can kind of express that different side to you, and people kind of, you know, can connect with that on their own level, you know, from the artist that you're like on your own like on the one that you have right now, and what you're trying to portray and where you're trying to lead it to. So I think that's a great idea. I think you should definitely go for it, you know, or even post little snippets of lyrics or something like that. I think that's a great idea. Can I ask you, who's been like your most favorite kind of lyricist or artist that you're like, I really like their lyrics and they're always so clever about it, and or even poets, like who comes to mind when you think of like lyrics and poets that really struck you?
I'm not like hooked on certain poets. I read a lot of poetry online and it's by anonymous people or stuff like that, so that's what I love doing, you know. And also finding hashtags on Instagram and seeing some beautiful quotes, and sometimes it's just like, wow, you know, like there's like saying, embrace all the butterflies that you have, because, and I just thought like, embrace butter, like the, what's the alliteration in that kind of, it just resonated with me. I love butterflies, and you know, like I used that as a lyric for one of my songs and it really inspired me. So that's another way that I use, another tool that I do for songwriting is using quotes or, yeah. But another artist, you know, another artist that really inspires me, well, there's loads. There's an artist called Lauren Aquilina. Mm-hmm. There's Paula Gartland. They're not necessarily my genre of music, but I love all kinds of genres of music. And the way that they word their lyrics, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but yeah, you know, I love the way write. I love their songwriting. They're very poetic.
Beautiful. I just love poetic songwriting. No, I understand what you mean. Like, there's so many artists that I really appreciate that might be at all my genre, but I can really appreciate the lyrical content and how in-depth it goes. So I really know where you're coming from about that. So Ariana, is it okay with you? We're going to jump into the part of the podcast called I'm a Diva 5 Questions. Are you ready?
Yes.
Great. So number one is, what's the best way for a diva to start her day?
Well, I love using daily affirmations, you know, the ones that give you positive quotes every day. I love using this app. It's called the Daily Affirmations app. And I think self-love isn't spoken about enough. And I think it's a really good practice to use daily affirmations. And I also make sure that I take my vitamins every morning. Mm. It's just my own little ritual. And yeah, I'll tell you a funny story. So recently, I thought I'd be all independent and I'd go into Holland and Barrett and I'd get all of these vitamins because I want to, you know, be healthy and whatnot. And I go to the woman and I'm like, right, give me all the vitamins that I need. And so she gives me magnesium, she gives me vitamin D, you know, biotin, all of these vitamins, and I buy them all. And I go home and I, you know, I start taking them every day. And a couple of weeks later, I start getting these stomach aches. And I was like, what have I changed for me to get these stomach aches? And I realized that it was all these vitamins. So I go to my doctor and he was like, you know, you shouldn't be taking like 15 vitamins a day because it can actually damage you. And I was like, I'm trying to self better myself. And there's me taking all these vitamins and I'm actually doing myself harm. So I've toned down on the vitamins. So that's a piece of advice I'd give, is make sure that you don't overdose on vitamins. But yeah, that's what I do love doing. It makes me feel good to take my vitamin D, my DC, you know, primrose and cod liver oils every morning. It really has benefited me a lot. And yeah, the daily affirmations have been great.
What's your favorite affirmation today? Did you say any this morning?
My favorite one, I didn't actually look at it this morning, which is not good. But in my moment of doubt, I've told myself firmly, if not me, who? And if not now, when? So I like that. It's basically like, you know, like a mantra. It helps you with, you know, it helps you reflect on every day, really.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. So number two, what do you think the ultimate diva mantra is? So a diva mantra, a mantra that empowers you.
Do you know what? There's so many. Let me have a think. Good judgment comes from experiences. And experience often comes from bad judgment. So I think it's really important to embrace mistakes and keep moving forward because, you know, you don't learn if you don't make the mistakes. So yeah, that's what my favorite mantra.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. So number three, what do you think the ultimate diva quality is above all others?
Definitely being confident, but kind and courteous. Because, you know, being true to yourself, showing respect costs nothing. And I think some people think that because they're higher up the ladder, they look down on people. And I think that's, you know, there are bad divas and there are good divas. And I think you should definitely just be respectful of everybody.
I agree. Thank you. So number four, can you describe your ultimate diva achievement to date?
I have to say, like, recently, it's been getting out of my comfort zone and kind of like learning about myself as an artist. I've been through a lot this year, as I said earlier, and living alone has helped me like discover who I really am and what I really love doing. And I feel like I really know what direction I want to go in. And that hasn't been an easy journey for me. I can get quite overwhelmed by all of the noise on Instagram and, you know, comparing myself and what we all do, you know, and it is difficult to make decisions, but I am proud of myself for getting to this point. I'm just excited for my music to get out there. And I just feel like it's an achievement to know what direction I'm going in, I think.
That's beautiful. Well said. And the whole noise of Instagram, I totally relate to you. And I think people are becoming more and more conscious and hopefully will become more and more mindful in how they use social media. So thank you for highlighting that. Great. So the last question of I'm a Diva 5 Questions, what's your diva deal breaker for work or personal life?
I think not being given freedom to do the things that I would like to do, and like, you know, being held back, or, you know, someone telling me that I can't do something, or being treated unequally as a woman, and or just discrimination in any form. Yeah, I just won't ever tolerate, no matter how subtle or sugar-coated it can be. Like, if it's discrimination and inequality, it's just a big no for me. And I won't work with someone if they show any signs of that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for that. That was well said. So let's move into, I really want to learn a little bit about your upcoming song, new single on the 21st of June called Golden. Can you tell us a little bit about what we can expect in Golden? How does it differ from your other songs? How did you get inspired to create this particular single?
So this is another song that I wrote in lockdown, actually. I wasn't actually going to release it. It was more of a home kind of song, which is, you know, finally coming out. It's about making the most of every day, saying every day is golden. not wasting time and embracing every day, and, you know, not taking your family and friends for granted, and, you know, like looking forward to going into the outside world again. I got a lovely choir full of artists that inspire me to sing on the last couple of choruses, which I'm really, really excited about because it sounds so beautiful. And I've got a music video coming out. And the best, most special thing about this music video is that over lockdown, I came across some family videotape. And my dad, growing up, he used to film every birthday, every Christmas, every event, every holiday. And there was literally like a massive bin bag full of tapes. And I was like, oh my gosh, I've got to go through every single one. I can't miss one out. So what I did was I watched them through the whole of the lockdowns, collected my favorite little takes of me and my family and special memories, and I sent them to my friend to edit them, and she's put together this amazing VCR video that I can treasure forever. And at the end, the choir have recorded themselves and they're like singing on top of me, singing and dancing while I'm a baby. So it's like, basically the beginning of the music video is my mum holding me as a baby, and then each step getting older and older, and then embracing every day in a few takes of me recently walking in, you know, the fields and going on my walks that I love doing. And it's basically saying, make the most of every day. And yeah, that's what it's about.
I absolutely love that. And I can't wait for it to be out. Anybody listening, do make sure to keep up with her social media. So now, can we just talk a little bit into the fact that, you know, this is a female music industry podcast, and what has been your experience in the music industry so far? What do you think, things have they been good, have they been bad? What things can be done differently? What things can be done better? Because, you know, things can always be improved. So what's your take on that?
There's so many things that could be improved. I haven't necessarily experienced anything negative myself, apart from like being at college, I think, like, you know, at uni, and, you know, everyone thinking that just because she's a vocalist, she won't know the technical side of things. Like, I feel like quite a few producers, it's not their fault, but they do, I don't think they mean to doubt me, but they probably think that, oh, she won't know what this means and stuff like that. So I think like just having more faith in women and women producers as well, because I think people are like, oh, she's a woman producer, like, you know, they're not as good as men producers. There's so many different kind of things, and obviously lineups at festivals, there's more men over women, and there's so many paths that I can go down on these topics, but definitely.
So definitely, do you think, so when you said you being an artist and the relationship with producers, do you think it's because you are a woman, or just the fact that you're a musician in regards to how you communicate with producers, just to clarify?
I think it's not their fault. I think it's just something that has become normalized. I think it's just become one of them things that it's mentioned, but it's not thought of to be offensive, but actually it's just kind of ingrained in people.
Do you think we would benefit, like, in terms of, like, when it comes to music production courses or like music performance courses like that, there would be like an inclusivity module, or maybe like understanding of other music roles in the music industry when you're collaborating, say producers and artists, that what kind of maybe more effective communication can be used to make sure to bridge the gap of kind of creating less of like that kind of we, us versus you kind of thing? Do you think we we would benefit from something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be really, really cool. The university that I went to is really supportive of all genders, you know, gender equality. And I'm really appreciative that I went somewhere that was supportive like that. But I know that there are places that aren't, and it would be really good to have more of that.
Yeah, yeah. Now, in terms of moving forward to our last sum up the entire kind of episode, any kind of words you want to leave on, anything you want to mention in terms of your music, anything you want to kind of say to any female artists out there, anything along those lines that you want to leave them on?
I think obviously just stay true to yourself and make music for you and love what you do, because there is always going to be other people that love what you do as well. There are going to be people that won't resonate with your music, but that's also okay, because you know it's like friendship. Like, you don't get along with everybody, but the people that do get along with you are the people that you resonate with. So I think definitely stay true to yourself and love what you do and enjoy the process.
Any other music kind of mentions you'd like to before we leave the episode?
I haven't announced anything. I haven't made any decisions yet, but I am really looking forward to releasing my music in the future, and I'll give it all out on my Instagram page soon.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, I guess the emphasis would be on make sure that anybody listening really enjoyed listening to Ari Tahan today. Make sure to keep up with all of her social media. All the social media would be in the description of this episode, and make sure to keep up with her music. I can't wait for your golden single to come out. I'm really excited to see the music video. You got me so kind of enveloped into everything that you're planning on doing. It sounds very exciting, and I'm sure nothing but amazing things to come from you in the future. And thank you so much for coming onto the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's so lovely to speak to you.
And to all our listeners, thank you so much for coming to the end of our season 2. Thank you so much for all your support, and this was Edgy V. Until next time.
I'm a Diva podcast launched their Patreon account, so if you like what we do and want to support us, head over to our link, and there will be some exclusive content for exclusive subscribers. So head over there now, and thank you so much for your support.